If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, February 12th. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for J.R. Whalen. Cybercrimes are an unfortunate fact of life, and now there's growing concern about attacks targeting 401k retirement accounts.
Federal law protects consumers, by and large, from fraudulent charges on credit cards. So I thought maybe the same thing would pertain with 401k accounts, but it turns out that it's an area of the law that's very ill-defined.
Coming up, our retirement reporter Ann Turgeson will discuss 401k cyber theft. What it is, what you can do if you become a victim of it, and how you can defend against it. After the break.
If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
We all worry about saving enough for retirement through accounts such as 401ks. But with cyber theft now a common concern, you might also want to think about safeguarding your 401k from theft. Experts say hacking into 401ks is on the rise, not just to steal personal information, but also the money you have stored in the accounts. Let's find out more about cyber theft from retirement accounts, as well as tips for preventing it from happening to you, from our retirement reporter, Ann Turgeson. Ann, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So what do we know about 401k cyber theft, generally how it works?
Well, I think it can work in a number of ways, but the case that I'm most acquainted with, in that situation, it appears that somebody basically stole a woman's identity, successfully hacked into her retirement account, having such information as her social security number and her date of birth. And when they got into her retirement account, they were able to add a bank account that wasn't hers, that obviously belonged to the perpetrator, and were able to transfer money out successfully that way.
Well, what types of people are likely to be hackers?
It seems like the history of this is that there's been cases of relatives hacking into these accounts and taking money out and stealing money. But what's becoming more prominent over time is cyber hacking by strangers who might even be located in different countries.
Well, how big a deal is it? How prevalent is this?
A big problem here is that there really isn't a lot of data. At least there's not a lot of data that's publicly available, and people who have that data aren't really willing to share it. So it's hard to know for sure. It seems like, just by talking to people in the industry, sort of on an anecdotal basis, that cyber hacking into 401k plans or attempts to break in are increasingly prevalent, but successes at breaking in and taking money out they still seem like they're fairly infrequent. So it's not something that people need to get completely alarmed about, but they should take some basic common sense steps to safeguard their accounts.
Well, how is it different from other types of financial fraud? I'm thinking, credit cards, debit cards.
Right. So I was a little bit surprised because, I think we're all well aware that when somebody steals our credit card, sometimes we'll even get a call from the credit card company immediately saying, are you in a bowling alley right now or something? But that even though it's an alarming thing, that you're not going to be held liable for those charges because, as I discovered, federal law protects consumers, by and large, from fraudulent charges on credit cards. So I thought maybe the same thing would pertain with 401k accounts, but it turns out that it's an area of the law that's very sort of ill-defined. And so at this point, it's not really clear that it does protect people. In fact, it seems that it probably doesn't.
What are companies and retirement managers doing to safeguard account holders? I'm sure they have a vested interest in this.
Yeah, so 401k record keepers, the people who administer your 401k account, they're doing a huge amount to try to protect people. It's not good for them if people break into your 401k account and steal your money. So they're investing, millions of dollars a year in technology to try to prevent people from hacking into these accounts. And, some of the innovations involve voice technology so that when you call the call center, they can actually verify that it's you by just the sound of your voice, which they have a recording of. Other things are are, you know, fingerprint technology, identification technology, face recognition technology. So they're really, you know, investing heavily in trying to stay ahead of the curve so they can prevent this.
Well, does the victim have any recourse?
It's unclear what the victim's recourse is, you know, under the law. I mean, certainly the short answer is 401k record keepers generally have policies to reimburse people. So that's great, right? So you think, okay, you know, somebody happens to hack into my account and steal my money, I can get reimbursed. Well, they also usually stipulate that it has to be through, quote, no fault of your own. And they're the ones who make the decision about whether you've made mistakes that would cause you to not be able to be reimbursed. And they specifically, most of these 401k record keepers will lay out certain steps that they think that people should take to properly protect their accounts. Now, you know, they won't necessarily tell you they're not going to reimburse you because you didn't take all those steps, but they basically sort of lay out best practices. And, you know, you can better protect your account if you take those best practices. You can also better insulate yourself from any risk of not being reimbursed in the extremely unlikely event someone does steal money from your account by taking those steps.
Well, let's get into that. What steps should consumers take to safeguard their 401ks and prevent them from being hacked?
You know, one thing that you really should do is you should go to the website of your record keeper and see exactly what they recommend that you do. Invariably, they make, you know, similar recommendations. For example, if you're somebody who prefers to get paper statements, you should still create an online account, because when you fail to do that, it's easier for, you know, some kind of cyber thief to go and try to establish an online account, your online account, and, you know, it makes it easier for them to occupy that. So basically, establish an account. You should check that account regularly, the way you would check like your credit card statement or your bank statement. So say once a month, you should be checking your 401k statement just to, for any signs of anything that's amiss, including you should check and make sure that, you know, the address and the email address are still the ones that you want in there. You should also make sure you are creating a good, strong, unique password. So don't, I think where people often get in trouble with accounts being hacked, it's when they use the same password or like slight variations on the same password for, you know, any number of accounts. Because, you know, if a hacker can kind of figure out what your password is for your bank account, then they can easily break into your other accounts. So you really be careful about that. You might also potentially be careful about sharing passwords with anybody, including a spouse, including, you know, sort of a password aggregation site. So, you know, the record keepers are very clear that you shouldn't be sharing your password.
The Wall Street Journal's Ann Turgeson, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
And that's your Money Briefing. Before we go, a quick programming note. We'll be off on Monday for the President's Day holiday, but we'll be back with a new show on Tuesday. I'm Charlie Turner, filling in for J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.